Welcome into a new edition of Rock's Comic Conversations. I am your host, Rock, and I'm being joined right now by my two favorite people in this building, Beefcake and Braga.
That's nice to know. Beefcake, fresh off catching Pokemon.
Yeah, you got a Pokemon Go update right now.
Yeah, I was out over at the Beer Stein here in town.
All right.
Willamette, and I think like 14th or 15th.
For anybody visiting Eugene, be on the lookout for the Beer Stein.
Yeah, great place to go. Plus, there's like four Pokestops all in a row, and people just lure it up, got your incense on, and there's just Magikarp all over the place. I mean, you're going to have a Gyarados before you know it. It's pretty lit over there.
Also, Beer Stein, if you want to pay us money. Feel free to do that.
For real. I may laugh, but we're serious. Let's jump right into trailer talk, shall we?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
And now, it's trailer talk with Rock.
Luke Cage, Netflix trailer debuted. How do y'all feel about it?
I just know first thing I saw in that trailer was Rosario Dawson, and that made me very happy.
Full mast. Again, full mast. Last week it was Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah.
This week, Rosario Dawson.
Give me all of her and all of the Marvel TV shows, and I'm good to go. Pretty much that's what they're going to do, though.
I believe it.
As the Night Nurse character. But it looks like she's going to be more featured in this one than she is Daredevil moving forward.
As she kind of should, in my opinion.
Boom. I'm on board. I was already on board because the Marvel shows are great and all the trailers for them. Like Iron Fist looks great, too. I mean, they all are fantastic.
Iron Fist? What is that?
And then Punisher is also going to have a TV show.
Yeah,
so,
man.
I mean, it's all going to be good. Then Defenders.
I am very excited for Luke Cage specifically because I saw a very brief glimpse of the Power Man costume, his old school suit.
Right.
It was an ever so brief glimpse, but a glimpse nonetheless. And it's like, all right, now we're talking. Getting some of that vintage Marvel right now.
I think it's really cool that Luke Cage, it deals with some real New York, you know, like living in the hood sort of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
And might I add.
Yeah.
My tattoo of Biggie happens to be all throughout that trailer because that's him standing in front of the Biggie painting, especially he's like, everybody wants to be the king.
Right.
As he's standing
so dope,
so properly framed to where Biggie's crown is on his head.
And then, by the way, like hearing that all of the show's titles are going to be Gangstar songs.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's the little things that the Marvel TV shows do that people just dig. Dig the hell out of it. They get the little things right. I mean, obviously, the big things are done right as well, but the little things, like the attention to detail they do is just so good, man.
It really is. It's what carries you throughout a show like that. It's what brings you back to the beginning in some ways. It's symbolism in some ways, and that's how you do proper movies and TV, is to make it just vivid and real and to have so many little details that you remember and can go back to, Easter eggs all over the place. A+, man.
And don't dumb it down either.
Nope.
Like, trust that your viewers know what they're doing.
And keeping it true to the source material is something I've noticed that the Marvel Netflix series do very well.
Yeah, at least with their powers, with their characters, they do well with that. And then incorporating that into a modern setting. I mean, you don't have Biggie in the comics back in the day, right?
No, man.
But today, what's relevant now, I think that's spot on, man. The people at Netflix, they are buying the best shows, or making the best shows, knocking it out of the park as much as HBO or any other network.
And they clearly made a decision on how they want to shoot them, and they're being consistent from show to show, too. Because, like, Daredevil has a style.
Yeah.
Like, it's really dark, just, you know, tone, the way the pictures are shot, the way the shots are made, and, like, every show. Like, Jessica Jones was like that the same way. Looks like this one's going to be like that the same way. Iron Fist trailer looks like it's going to be exactly the same way, and it's perfect.
So, I think it's safe to say we all have our hands in the air with anticipation for Luke Cage.
And we're waving them around as if we just don't care.
Yeah.
Frank, I can dig that.
That Frankie Faison dude, the old guy he was talking to, that guy's from The Wire, too. I love that actor.
Yeah, man.
He's great. He played, like, the commissioner in The Wire. Like that dude's rad, man.
That's the best.
Yeah. The Wire is so big time. That's money right there.
Yeah.
Gotham Season 3, we got our first look. It was brief, and it was interspliced with some other terrible POS show that's going to be on Fox, I'm sure. But Gotham Season 3, based off what I saw in this trailer, it looks almost as if it's going into a new direction. Like, we've got an older Poison Ivy. She magically hopped at least 15 years in age.
Yeah. I read something where they're going to, like, actually flash forward with Ivy or something like that.
They really should, especially if they plan on doing this Court of Owls storyline that it sounds like is being batted around.
But again, like, you can't have Ivy that much older than Bruce Wayne.
Well, and that's been my problem, and you and I have discussed that for pretty much since the beginning of Gotham was we love watching it, but at the same time, it's so out of canon that it is.
Yeah.
It's a complete work of fiction. Not that there's any reality in the comics, but you know what I mean? Like, for Bruce to have already met his rogues gallery at the age of 12.
I know.
Yeah, it's like
half of them are his age.
Jesus riding a dinosaur out of fiction, out of canon.
Does not happen in the Bible.
No.
Love the Bible. Love Jesus, but I ain't never seen him on a dinosaur.
No.
I would want to, though.
Jesus on a velociraptor didn't happen.
Bro, and I've smoked myself retarded several times, and I ain't never seen Jesus on a dinosaur.
It could, though. Like,
I'd love
if
it.
Jesus was around dinosaurs, he could totally
all
ride
day.
A raptor. Come
well,
on, now.
He could be a raptor whisperer.
Yeah, he's a charmer.
Like, Jesus just out there getting blunted, talking to the raptors. You say, Jurassic Park? Well, let me show you Jesus Park.
Yeah, he does the Chris Pratt, you know.
Yeah.
Acknowledge all three of them and hold them at bay.
Yeah.
But he's, like, in Birkenstocks instead.
Right.
The jailhouse slippers.
The Jerusalem cruisers.
Yeah, bro. I like to call them the Jesus jailhouse shoes. That's what they are. They what you wear into the shower.
All right, so Gotham Season 3 looks like Fish Mooney against Penguin.
Yeah. And Penguin, by the way,
yeah.
Robin Lord Taylor, still one of the greatest actors on TV right now. He does such a tremendous job as Penguin.
He does. And the dude who plays Riddler is really good,
too.
Yeah. And by like, so these characters, they're okay being a little bit older than Bruce Wayne. Like, Penguin is older.
Absolutely.
Than Bruce Wayne and Batman, period. Riddler's supposed to be a little bit closer, which he kind of is. He's not, like, that much older, but, like, yeah, like, going back to what you said, like, pretty much every other villain in there is, I don't know how it's going to work. I mean, they're basically never going to have Batman on the show.
That's what it sounds like.
It might be, like, a last episode of the entire series
like
when they're finally
Smallville?
Done. They, like, flash forward and show, like, an outline of the cowl or something like that. That's the only thing we're going to get. So, and the show seems clearly centered around the villains. And so they're just going to keep introducing villain after villain after villain without Batman.
I think what we will get this season, and just a brief glimpse in this trailer, this first look, alluded to it, but again, it was taken out of context, so I don't know for sure, but that scene where Bruce is telling Alfred, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, let's do this.
Curious what that means.
Yeah.
Does that mean he's like...
Is he going to begin the training is what
I'm
wondering.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there was that smile, that smirk on Alfred's face when he's like, are you ready? You know what I mean? It makes me wonder, all right, are we going to get down to the training this season?
Man, does that make Alfred like the Ra's al Ghul of...
Basically.
Send him off to the wilderness?
Yeah.
And I really dig the fact that they decided to use the more modern version, the more modern incarnation of Alfred in the show Gotham, because I always felt like Alfred, as great of a character as he was, there was always more that you could do with him. So to add that whole MI6 background to it, absolutely love it.
That sounds so cool. My God, I need to watch
that. Yeah, you should really get on Gotham.
What am I doing?
Ah, not doing life right, beef.
Yeah, when I watched the Nolan Batman movies, I hadn't read any of the comics yet. So that essentially got me into wanting to read the comics. And so then I read like the Geoff Johns like comics. I read the New 52 stuff, the Eternal stuff and all that. And Alfred's not this like doddering old man.
No.
He's not supposed to be like, oh, Master Bruce. And then he starts crying all over the place. No, he's some badass military dude who is supposed to, like Batman versus Superman, he's supposed to fix all of his gear.
Yes.
He's supposed to be Oracle back in the Batcave, essentially.
Correct. And he's not just supposed to be in a kitchen fixing sandwiches all day.
He is not. He's not supposed to be making tea all day. He can.
He can. And he makes a mean spot. Let me tell you what, boy.
That's not all he does, though.
Two sugars. Two sugars, please.
Dash of honey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Club sandwiches.
What's with you in the fucking sandwiches?
You ain't in the club.
By far, the greatest Billy Bob Thornton movie ever made, might I add. If you don't love Bad Santa, you have done terribly at life.
You guys have seen the new one, right? The new trailer?
For what, Bad Santa 2?
Bad Santa 2?
I have, and it's phenomenal.
I saw the Red Band one. I saw that today.
How good did you like that?
It's great.
No, we're going to have to talk about that next
Bad
week.
Santa is the closest we will ever see to a Billy Bob Thornton biopic. On my mama's.
You an asshole.
There is a...
He said, "What he Bernie Mac... Or, no, it was John Ritter that was talking to him. He's like... is everything okay? Is everything working all right? The fuck you mean? You saying there's something wrong with my gear? Something wrong with my fuck stick? It's like, how do you get that from that?
There is a scene in the trailer, the Red Band trailer, where he's getting the reach around from a chick while wearing his Santa costume.
Nice!
That's actually real.
That's so funny.
I can't wait to see that.
I want to be Billy Bob Thornton and so badly.
And then his little person friend walks in. He's like, oh man, that's like in my, that's in my frame.
I love Matt Santa. Let's talk something that's very near and dear to Beefcake's heart. The new Star Wars Rogue One trailer is expected to be released tomorrow, Thursday morning. How do you feel?
This is going to be me on my monitor. Just waiting for it.
Nice.
Just breathing hard, waiting for it.
Giving your O face.
Doing beef things.
So when the trailer drops, should we leave you to your own devices
for several minutes? At least 15 minutes myself.
Okay.
And like several towels.
I mean, just like when the Force Awakens trailer, the really good one with like the Millennium Falcon going through through the decrepit old star, the big starship and stuff.
Mm. Chewie, we're home.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
When that came out, it was like, man, you just needed to watch it a couple of times. You need a couple minutes with it. I'm hoping that's what we get out of this new Star Wars Rogue One trailer. That sounds good.
The first one is really good.
I dig it, man.
And exciting. Like, I dig the style of it.
Yep,
like the tone. Yeah. Tone,
100%.
Tonally, it does seem very appealing to me, but I have to ask, how nervous are you about the reshoots that they had to go out and do on this? Because the studio wasn't happy with the script. The director wasn't happy with what he was seeing in the editing room, so they had to go out and reshoot a whole bunch of stuff. What are your thoughts?
I mean, Disney is not Warner Brothers. They're not out there ruining things. So they're probably going in, and they're putting in much-needed humor. They're putting in a little lighter tone just for everyone to really wrap themselves around it, because I don't think Disney's going to do this wrong. I just don't think they have it in them to do a Star Wars movie wrong. I mean, as well as The Force Awakens did, as well-received as it was, I think to have something just a little bit darker in this Star Wars universe is appropriate, and they need to juxtapose it with some humor and a little bit of light tone. I think they're doing the right thing.
We're gonna get Vader in this too, right?
Yes.
Hell yeah, we are.
Oh, yes, and allegedly it's going to be Hayden Christensen, the homeboy that played Anakin, isn't it?
Hmm.
I heard that was a rumor, and
that'd be interesting.
Several reputable sources that I went to for said rumor are. Seeming to indicate that while it might be him, we may not know until the end credits roll because there might be instances in which we never see him without the helmet.
See, I'm fine with him taking another crack at it. I think George Lucas gave him, you know, kind of a stilted bad script in the two that he was in.
Mm.
So, you know, take another crack at it, Hayden Christensen. It's not like you're a terrible, terrible actor, I don't think.
He's kind of like a robot, though.
A little bit.
Like
but
the
he
male
plays
case,
a robot man.
Yeah.
With a lightsaber and force powers, and
yeah.
Probably the coolest character that's ever been made in fiction ever. Whatever,
yeah. And like, he makes babies.
Yeah,
we know that.
But like
he gets laid.
This is like the coolest character ever, and Disney's doing this, and I don't think they're going to mess it up now.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
That's my take on it too.
The Wrap reported yesterday that a sequel to Man of Steel is in heavy development at Warner Brothers. Thoughts?
I have a reason for that. $668 million.
Of a Batman versus Superman?
No, that's how much the first Man of Steel movie made. Batman versus Superman, $872 million. So that's why they're going to make another one.
And Suicide Squad, first weekend out the gate, breaks the all-time August record. It set so many records and ended up coming, as I told y'all in my prediction on the podcast, it would end up having a better opening weekend than Deadpool, and it did.
Wow.
By $3 million.
Wow.
Wow, dude. Seriously, well played on that prediction.
And I still think it will end up having a longer box office haul. Not longer, but a bigger box office haul than Deadpool. Strictly because Deadpool was rated R. Now, while many children did go see it, it was hard for them to do that because it's rated R. Suicide Squad's PG-13. More eyes will be in front of the screen.
Do you guys like Man of Steel?
I thought Man of Steel was very, very good. My biggest problem with Man of Steel, and Zack Snyder has not corrected it yet, in Man of Steel, everything is Luthor Corps. Whereas in Batman vs. Superman, and I've talked to you about this several times, Braga, everything
LexCorp.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the logos are vastly different. The color schemes on the buildings, vastly different. Never made any mention whatsoever. Other than there were quite a few instances, especially if you see the Ultimate Edition, where Lex references his father.
His dad, yeah.
Which leads me to believe... they had always intended on trying to get an older Lex Luthor because Zack Snyder, as a lot of people try to give him a bad rap as a terrible film director, he would not have missed such a glaring inconsistency in the same universe. I would hope.
Yeah, I mean, he made the movies. So why would he make such a huge,
And it was never once addressed in BVS. So that leads me to believe that in Man of Steel, we will finally see the debut of Lex Sr., which I'm hoping will still be Bryan Cranston. Especially with Eisenberg as Lex Jr.
It's about time for Superman to get a movie where he actually goes and does something. It's not just, this is how Superman came about. This is how Superman was born and got his powers. Or, you know, they go through the birth over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's time for him to come out and kick some ass.
Spider-Man's the same way, too. Like,
not just born and die. That arc has been done to death.
Yes.
You know, birth to death, over it. Let's see some middle. Let's see some Twin Towers battling it out with people. That's what I want to see.
That's what they're doing with Batman.
Yeah.
Like, they're just throwing, getting right into it. Throwing us Affleck Batman as a grown-ass Batman.
Into it.
Perfect, yeah.
I'm as much as I love the animated series, that's what it was all about every single week. Batman is already established.
Yep.
You already knew what was going on. He was meeting up with a new villain. He was taking him on. There was always challenges. There was always new stuff for him to learn and overcome, and that's what it's about. That's what we need out of Batman and out of Superman.
I really like Man of Steel, too.
I was a huge fan of Man of Steel, other than that one inconsistency. And I thought that just the acting overall was really good. I thought Henry Cavill, while he may not ideally look like Superman, to me, he's the closest we've gotten to somebody from the... And I know there's a lot of Chris Reeves fans out there. Different generation.
Totally.
He might have worked for Superman for y'all, but in my generation,
totally,
would never have cut the mustard. That's why Brandon Routh did not work.
Yep, I agree.
And, like, we don't need to expect a lot out of that character in terms of acting either. Like, Superman is not that dynamic of a character.
Right, no. Not complex.
Yeah, he's black or white, America's way, boring, frankly, character. And so we don't need a heck of a lot out of him. It just needs to have a compelling villain.
Yeah, he just needs to be human. He needs to try and be human on some level. Yeah.
And to me,
the
biggest problem with what we've gotten out of Superman movies, and even TV shows to an extent, is the lack of villain choices. And there's plenty of rogues to choose from. Why Brainiac has not been worked into a movie yet? Mind-blowing. The same thing that I would ask the folks at Sony and or Marvel. How have you not put Mysterio in a movie yet?
They don't want somebody who looks like a light bulb.
One of the most illest Spider-Man villains ever that you could do a ton with.
Yeah.
Nobody's even mentioned his name in the most minute of rumors about being cast.
Instead,
or being
like,
a role.
More Thomas Hayden Church, more Sandman. Get out of here.
F-O-H, beef.
Yeah, F-O-H, bro.
So we're about to get Darkseid in the Justice League movie, right?
That's what it sounds
Isn't
like.
That what
we're
at seeing?
The very least, we'll get Steppenwolf.
They essentially showed him at the end of Batman versus Superman, didn't they?
No, that was Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf, okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's all part of the New Gods, which
right. So
falls
he,
in line
be
with.
He'd be the end game.
Darkseid would be the end game. He'd be the... And Thanos is actually the ripoff of Darkseid, but yes.
Maybe Justice League 2 or something like that.
Could be. But I'm very excited about the possibilities, what's going on over there in the DCEU. Speaking of which, Amy Adams plays Lois Lane in the DCEU. And earlier today, Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, and Forest Whitaker showed up in the first trailer, the first official trailer for The Arrival. What'd y'all think?
Very spooky, I guess. I don't know.
You into it?
It looks like, what was Prometheus?
Prometheus is
a pretty good
one.
Looks a lot like that.
I would actually say it looks more to me like War of the Worlds. And again, we didn't get a whole lot.
I see that, yeah.
But it was only a minute long.
Right, but the way, I don't know, I guess.
Stylistically,
it looks very similar to Prometheus.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was referencing the big, huge alien pod that's sitting in a middle of a field.
Yeah.
And then I was
Nobody
like,
knows
you know,
what the hell it is.
I feel like Tom Cruise is going to show up somewhere. But he never did, and I'm okay with that. Still something I'm definitely going to check out because I love alien movies. And Ancient Aliens. And getting high while watching Ancient Aliens.
I think it'd be better with Tom Cruise, though.
TC does make everything better except Katie Holmes' life.
You're the only person I know that can ever remember that doctor's name, the guy with the crazy hair. Stephanopoulos?
George Stephanopoulos?
No, that's the guy on CNN.
which doctor?
The guy, Aliens. That guy from Ancient Aliens.
Oh, Giorgio Tsoukalos.
The dude from the memes?
Giorgio Tsoukalos. Yeah, that's the homeboy right there. Giorgio Tsoukalos.
I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Yeah. All right. I'm not saying it's aliens, but...
It's aliens.
It's aliens, yeah.
So we're into The Arrival, it looks like. A couple of people giving some thumbs up on that. The new Olympics trailer was released earlier today for Doctor Strange. Thoughts, gentlemen, Marvel fanboys?
I'm all on board for Doctor Strange. I'm ready for the Inception level craziness, because that's a lot. It reminds me a lot of that folding over the world. And it's almost kind of like Dune, the way they fold space and stuff like that.
Yeah, man. It was very, very good. And I have to say, Doctor Strange, while it does borrow different elements from other very successful films, it looks like it still has a lot of original elements.
And I don't think Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be in a bad movie. I don't think he has it in him to go and do just some rubbish, as he would say.
And he makes stuff better, too. So if it is bad, he's going to upgrade it.
Right. I was very doubtful when he was first announced as being Doctor Strange, just because I know the caliber of roles he takes, and I thought for sure this dude took a comic book movie role and was just going to put absolutely no effort into it because it's below him. But he
was good as Khan, though.
Yeah.
Star Trek movie?
Yeah, he made kind of a movie that was all right, maybe like a C+ into a B.
Yeah.
And same with Desolation of Smaug. He was good as Smaug. Smaug and it up.
Yeah, man. Very, very much looking forward to Doctor Strange when that hits theaters this fall.
Everything other than Tilda Swinton being the
whitewash, dude.
You got to be kidding me. I'm not mad that it's a white person. I'm mad that it's her. I don't like her in general. I don't like the sound of her voice. I don't like her acting style.
Voice is terrible.
I think she's they honestly could not have cast that part worse. In my opinion.
Maybe she'll do a good job, though. I mean, she's also not a terrible actor. Just, she's not, it's not how you envision it.
A little bit.
All right, let's talk some nerd news, Beef. I know you got to skate here momentarily, but real quickly, what are your final thoughts on Suicide Squad? You missed out on the spoiler-free and spoiler-filled podcast. We had different schedules that day, but we'd love to know what you thought about Suicide Squad.
For Suicide Squad, it's all about Will Smith being Men in Black level awesome. As just a great character in it, as Deadshot, plus Margot Robbie is... could anyone else do as well as she did at Harley Quinn? Just spot on, man. Her accent sometimes is a little bit forced because she's not like an American-American.
Correct.
She's an Australian, but it's pretty, pretty damn good. Those two characters together make the movie amazing, and then the camaraderie between them is felt on the screen, and I've gone back and seen a couple of little behind the scenes interviews with Margot Robbie, and she's like, we were together all the time, we were hanging out all the time. It was like, normally actors would go off to their trailers and do all that stuff. We wanted to hang out and just be a crew all the time, and that makes for a great movie, a great performance, a great air staff at a radio station.
Yeah,
say folks that hang out together and have camaraderie, A+.
You know, now that you mention it, the accent, it does kind of disappear a few times. The Jersey accent that she uses. Now that you mention it, I didn't think about it before. I was like, oh yeah, sometimes she's like, oh my God, you guys.
Yeah.
And then sometimes she just kind of talks with a normal American voice.
That's fine with me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm just saying now that you mention it.
It actually gives me more believability to her voices in her head when she talks differently.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's deep, dude. You're going deep on that.
I'll go deep on Margot Robbie any day of the week. Or Harley Quinn.
She's my Harley Queen.
Yeah, man. Either way, Margot Robbie definitely, for me, phenomenal as Harley Quinn. I feel like the relationship that she had already established with Will Smith doing Focus had a lot to do with how well they worked together on screen. Not to say the rest of the squad didn't work well, but you could just tell that there was a different vibe, a different chemistry between those two.
Yeah, and with Joker, I was thinking about it more. And I think I've come to the conclusion that I didn't really like Jared Leto's Joker. I just don't think it worked.
Is that right?
I think he tried some different things, and I don't know. So apparently they cut out a movie's worth of Joker footage from this movie. I don't know if it was,
according to Jared Leto, it was about a movie's worth. But it sounds like, according to David Ayer, it was only several scenes.
Right.
And even Margot Robbie kind of confirmed that a little bit as well.
So, I mean, I don't know if it's just in the way the movie was edited or something like that. I don't know, man.
Well, she said that the scenes that they were really missing from, which there's several scenes in the trailer that did not make, Joker scenes in the trailer that did not make their way into the actual movie. But from what Margot Robbie was saying, a lot of the deleted scenes or the scenes left on the cutting room floor of Joker were scenes that the entire time, yes, they gave a killer performance when shooting them, but they had known that they were just going to be used for montages with music playing over. You know what I mean?
Right. For the commercials and the trailers.
Well, no, not even for the commercials. It was for flashbacks.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. And I think, honestly, I think it mostly has to do with just Joker being a side character in a movie. Because we've never seen Joker as a
side character.
He's always the main villain. Always.
And I actually kind of like that he wasn't the main big bad, that he was more along the lines of just being a single thread in this overarching story.
Yeah, so he couldn't be the main villain in this, but I feel like that's maybe what it's missing. Like, Heath Ledger was given an entire film to flesh out the character, his version of the Joker, whereas Jared Leto wasn't. And so we just got like glimpses of what his version of the Joker is. And so we don't understand why he wears those suits, why he looks the way why he has all those tattoos, all of that crap. Like,
they specifically said that we would find out in the movie why he had all the tattoos and everything. So that
there you go.
There's two different conflicting stories coming from cast members and David Ayer.
Like, Heath Ledger got the scene where he got to kind of fake explain where he got those scars. Jared Leto never got that scene. So I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it. I think I need a more fully fleshed out Joker than what we got from Jared Leto, because I don't know if it really worked. And by the way, he needs to go against Batman more.
And David Ayer also said that the thought of an ultimate edition of Suicide Squad is not something that the studio has any interest in doing. Now, that could be him just being a good soldier for WB and not saying, oh, well, if you didn't like this version, don't worry.
Yeah.
Because in a couple months, you're going to get the ultimate edition.
As they're getting sued right now because they showed a bunch of stuff, or they didn't show a bunch of stuff that were in the trailers in the theater.
The most foolish lawsuit ever.
Come on now.
Ever. Good luck to you, though. I don't know how the court systems work over there in London, but in the U.S., you'd probably get laughed out of court on that.
Apparently, he's never seen a trailer for a movie before.
Ever.
And by the way, so we should get into the actual villain in the movie.
Enchantress.
God, that was dope.
The general consensus, at least online, seems to be very anti-Enchantress as being the villain. I thought she was a great first villain.
I thought the way, like, that big final scene where she was, like, fully powered up and doing all the, like, essentially about to destroy the world, that was rad, dude. How do you not watch that and think, this is badass?
The only part of her I did not like at all throughout the entire movie was those god-awful dance moves, where she looked like the chick from The Conjuring or one of those scary movies.
That's pretty comic booky, though.
It was,
you know,
but it's still just,
I hear you.
Not everything that looks good in comics is going to translate
to
the screen.
I hear you. I almost feel like that's maybe Ayer's biggest flaw in how he looked at this movie, was that he thought everything that works in the comics does work in movies, and that's clearly not the case.
No, not at all.
So, but again, like, 4 out of 5 on this movie, so we liked it.
Absolutely, and I have seen it a second time already, plan on seeing it a third time this weekend. Yeah, man, it's a great, great movie.
Yeah, it's
still
fun.
Not a movie I love, but it is a very fun film.
Yeah.
It's a movie, if you've got a couple hours to kill, you want to see some mindless explosions and shoot 'em up bang bang and some witty banter here and there, Suicide Squad is it.
Yeah.
I know it's not even intended to be a comedy, but I laughed almost as loud and as often watching that movie as I did Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart and The Rock, which should have been a vastly superior movie when it comes to comedy.
That might be saying something about that movie more than Suicide Squad.
Right? That's what I'm saying. So it's like, it's up there. And if you could say The Martian is a comedy, then Suicide Squad should be a comedy.
Right.
So that's how I'm looking at
it. I still got to see The Martian too, by the way.
No, you don't.
I don't? I heard it was good.
You heard lies.
Matt Damon's
also heard it was a comedy.
Matt Damon's great.
Is he?
Yes. Yes, he is.
He is, actually.
I'm going to go see Bourne this week.
Oh, yeah. So. That movie looks awesome.
Yeah, Jason Bourne's legit.
Woo!
By the way, before we move on from Suicide Squad, people need to stop asking Jared Leto about Suicide Squad, because he is officially out of answers. Like, did you see this week he said he wants Joker and Batman to team up?
Yes.
Like, just, okay, that's enough.
Speaking of which.
That's enough. Let's not ask him questions about Joker anymore, please.
Speaking of which.
You can stop, Jared.
Jared Leto also said he wants to see Superman fight the Joker.
Blah, blah, blah. All of that chit-chat's gonna get you hurt. I can't wait to show you my toys.
What do you think your Joker would make of Superman?
Who? That would probably be his answer. Super who? Superboy? He sounds cute. Tights? A cape? Superman seems like a lot of fun, though, for the Joker. The Joker and Superman would be interesting to see on screen because Superman's so stoic and morally centered. I think that the Joker would really enjoy that, you know. And Superman is, you know, just a classic hero. And the Joker opposite any classic hero would be really interesting.
Now, while I would love to see Jared Leto's Joker take on Henry Cavill's Superman, just because it is such a juxtaposition of two completely different characters, that I probably would watch. But really, that's your response, Jared? I'd like to see Superman fight the Joker. Bro, I love you. Your music's phenomenal.
Stop it.
You're acting tremendous. But what kind of responses are you giving? I can tell you're just over it at this point.
Yeah, no more press conferences.
And I think my reasoning for speculating that he's over it is more or less due to the fact in his utter disappointment. He seems like he took that very personally, that his scenes were cut from Suicide Squad.
And that he's getting a bad reception for it, too.
Because people could not see everything he put into it.
Yeah. Joker technically has done stuff with Super. I think the Endgame books.
Oh, it wouldn't be the first time in the comics, but it would be the first time in film, which or television, which would be insane.
So, like, that's the whole thing, though, is, like, in Endgame, he, like, gave him the toxin or whatever, and it was a venue to Batman. So, literally everything Joker does is to get to Batman in some way. So, he could go through Superman, but it would have to be a Batman movie, essentially. Like, you never see Joker in the Superman movie. Like, Man of Steel 2, Joker's not going to be in that. He's going to be in, like, a Justice League situation where he gets to all of the other people just to get at Batman and show him that Batman's better alone or something like that.
And I'd be okay with that. That'd be an interesting way to take that.
Yeah, but I don't know how much that would really work.
A couple of final topics to jump into real quickly. We saw that it has been confirmed in the DC Entertainment Universe. If you pay attention in Suicide Squad to the, I guess you would call it, intro scenes where they show
montage.
The stats.
Yeah.
Everybody's stats, you know, how many kills they got, what they went to jail for, et cetera, et cetera. And it was confirmed in that Harley is at least partially responsible for the death of Robin. We still don't know which Robin, although a lot of people speculate it's Jason Todd.
Got to be Jason Todd, right?
It's got to be, I would think.
Yeah.
But anything's possible in the DCEU when you think about it. Not necessarily being a good thing, but there's definite possibilities out there.
Could mean some very cool things for the Batman standalone movie, if that is indeed the case, too.
And it's apparent that the DCEU will rely heavily, as opposed to doing origin stories, which, again, I'm okay with, they will rely heavily on flashbacks.
Yeah.
And I think that there was a definitive reason why David Ayer put that fact into Harley's stats, because I feel like it's going to be shown in one of, if not multiple, upcoming movies.
Yeah, it's got to be part of the Batman movie.
It has maybe to. Even Justice League.
Yeah, I think probably the Batman movie more than Justice League, but it could be the flashback scene that they show for Batman in that, where it kind of gives his motivation for doing things or something.
Correct.
Like that.
Yeah. I'm thinking it would be a perfect opportunity to open up Justice League with doing maybe, hear me out here.
And by the way, get Margot Robbie in all of the movies.
Oh, absolutely.
From now on. So if you can find a way to sneak her into Justice League, do it.
I think a interesting way, and a way that might not be too far out of the realm of possibility, would be to show an opening scene, say, of Bruce, whether it be in the Batcave or whatever, just staring at the costume that Robin once wore, the monument, the tribute. Then, boom, you flashback to seeing Joker just wailing on him in that warehouse, in that little shack. You see Robin ended up getting killed. You see Bruce discovering Robin's beaten body. Then, cut to the BVS third act fight scene with Doomsday. Show Clark getting killed, Superman getting killed. And that way you just tie two huge deaths for him, and we know that he didn't really have a bond with Superman in BVS, but still two deaths that weigh on this man. And this is why he's got to put together a squad, put together a team.
Do you play the video games at all, the Batman games?
Oh, yeah.
You see the last one, how they represented that scene? So that they essentially had Batman in, it was like the fear toxin, I think it was.
Yes.
That was, yeah. And so he's like in this dark room and Joker comes out and they've got like Jason Todd hanging by some chains and stuff. And then he like basically kills him and it's really, really awesome. The video games for Batman are awesome. If anybody has
Oh, yeah. The Rocksteady Arkham games.
Oh, they're so good.
Missing out, man.
They're so good.
But yes, absolutely.
I don't know why I brought that up.
It's a great, interesting fact. And I think that would be an awesome way to do the flashback scene to show the death of Robin and still bring it current into this universe, because you tie it together, you marry it with the death of Superman.
Yeah, I mean, it goes against canon, having Harley as part of Robin's death.
Absolutely, considering Robin was killed years before Harley had even been created.
Even existed, yeah. But, I mean, they're changing stuff anyway, so.
All right, one last topic for you here, Braga. There have been some more behind-the-scenes photos that made their way onto the internet.
I have not seen these.
That show us different looks at Spider-Man's suit and his web shooters.
All right, explain them to me.
Well, while you tell me what your thoughts are so far on what we know about Spider-Man Homecoming and the new Spider-Man suit, I'll go ahead and actually find the pictures for you.
Well, again, we kind of talked about this with Beefcake earlier. I do not like Spider-Man in general. Just because, I mean, it's probably because just the way they've done him beforehand, but the character in general is a whiny teenager who, I don't know. I don't care about a whiny teenage superhero.
All right, well, let me be clear.
You know what I mean?
Marvel, not a fan of, but there are a couple of characters, and by couple, I mean like three.
Right.
Spider-Man being one of the characters that I'm actually a fan of in Marvel. And I would say whiny is not the appropriate term, more of a punk.
The way he's been portrayed in the movies.
Absolutely. He's a bitch in the movies.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you have Tobey Maguire play him.
Yeah.
So what do you expect?
I watched the first Andrew Garfield one, and I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. But he's still not a character I was interested in watching more of, which is why I didn't see the second one.
And nobody else did either, which is why we now have Tom Holland.
Was that good, though? Like, Jamie?
No.
I heard Jamie Foxx was okay.
No. Okay. Whoever told you that is just trying to save face. Yeah, right. Man. Yeah, Jamie Foxx was, the entire movie was terrible. Okay. Just the whole concept of it.
So I'm glad I missed it, then.
I will say I'm very optimistic, though, about Tom Holland being thrown into this universe. Yeah. He, is the actual age of Peter Parker, damn near. And he just has that punk attitude style to him. He seems very smart mouth, constantly cracking jokes, throwing out one. We saw it in Captain America Civil War.
So what took him so long to get him in the MCU? Was it Sony?
It was Sony that was holding it up.
Yeah, so I mean, now that they're not like restricted by any of that stuff and they have him in the actual MCU with all of the other characters and they're letting other people write the movies and make the movies, then I think he's a character to be excited about. I mean, he was fantastic in the Civil War movie.
And that's something that I really appreciate about what Marvel has done since they got their hands on Spider-Man for the first time in the cinematic universe, is their attention to detail and trying to make sure that their representation of Peter Parker is the appropriate representation. The costume, damn near Steve Ditko ripped right out of the page.
Yeah.
The web shooters.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a huge fan of how visible they are. They seem very standout-ish, being that like matte black with the bit of the shine to it, the pearlescent paint.
I will say, though, like what they did that was a really good idea with Civil War is match him with Iron Man.
Yes.
And so if you're matching it with Iron Man and Iron Man makes that, then that fits.
That works.
Yeah.
But the suit is tremendous. I love everything that I've seen so far coming off of the Homecoming set.
Agreed. The eyes changing shape and stuff, that's so cool, man.
Yeah. People were so pissed that his eyes moved.
They didn't
in
like
Captain
that?
America Civil War.
They didn't like
Do
that?
A Google search. It's insanity.
That's so cool.
That's one of the dopest parts about the drawers in the comic books, the artists in the comic books. They made his eyes be plain white but still show emotion.
That's so cool.
Because he was able to have them move. And the fact that they did that in Civil War, I was like, all right, Marvel, take all my money.
I know.
Have nailed Spider-Man.
You guys do movies right. End of story. Movies and TV shows, by the way. We should say that.
Absolutely. End of story indeed. Let's jump into Rock's pull list. And on the pull list today, we've got a lot of dope books from DC Comics. Of course, no Marvel. I do not purchase Marvel Comics. I am DC only when it comes to my books. You got New Superman issue number 2, part of DC's Rebirth. The Flash number 4. This book has been so tremendously good since Rebirth. And Flash has always been one of my favorite books from DC, but Rebirth is extra special. I love what they're doing with Godspeed. I just love everything that's going on right now in The Flash. Also new in stores today for New Comic Book Day, we've got Batman Detective Comics 938, Superman Action Comics 961. Finally, Deathstroke number 1, his solo title on Rebirth. Now, this is the rebirth issue. This is not the actual number one. The actual number one drops next month, I believe. This is his rebirth book. One of the books I've been waiting for to be reborn. Red Hood and the Outlaws and DC Universe's Rebirth, Red Hood and the Outlaws, number one, is new in stores today for New Comic Book Day. And arguably the biggest book out today for New Comic Book Day. All-Star Batman number one with like several different variants. I grabbed them all. I am a huge John Romita Jr. fan, huge Scott Snyder fan. To see them together on Batman, my favorite superhero in history, and they're kicking things off with Two-Face? Sign me up. Go grab All-Star Batman. John Romita Jr. kills it. The art is fantastic in this book, and that is what's on Rock's pull list for the week of August the 10th. Make sure you hit up your favorite comic book shop. Go support your local businesses. Grab your new comic books and enjoy some killer stories coming out of DC right now, especially with the Rebirth line, man. That'll do it for this edition of Rock's Comic Conversations as usual. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat at Rock On Air. That's R-O-C On Air. You can also follow Beefcake on Twitter and Instagram at Beefcake Rocks. And Braga would appreciate it if you do not attempt to follow him on any social network. He does not want anything to do with you. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast today on iTunes. Also, check us out on Audioboom, and we'll talk to you later.